Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. And in the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Hi, it's me, Ben.
And it's me, Abba.
And you're listening to Nostalgia.
It's me, Mini Driver.
You look so nice.
Thank you. Oh, shush.
I'm wearing workout clothes. Well, I was just, you worked out, so you have like a, you have, the endorphins are flowing.
I use the term workout very loosely.
But like we were saying before, even just a small amount of working out still
is good for you. Yeah.
The moment someone told me going for long walks counts as exercise, it changed my whole
I go for a long walk every other day. It's so good to walk. Nice. It's so good to see the city.
the city
is so fucking ugly. This is so the ugliest city in the world.
It's so sad because like I live near the Don Valley in Toronto, so I'll go for walks in the Don Valley and I'm about to be like, this is so gorgeous. And then I look a little bit closer and realize like there's truly garbage everywhere, like Tim Hortons cups. Oh, bless you.
Roll up the rim.
You take one sniff like, and have... you're like, oh, that is sewage.
Yeah. It literally just, my friend's boyfriend is from BC and literally like, I remember him being like, yeah, I go for long walks in the Don Valley. And his response was, I'm so sorry. Because he just like grew up in like true gorgeous, gorgeous.
Well, you know what?
Wilderness.
He grew up bored as fuck as well, so he shut up.
I mean, I guess like that sometimes, but I, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. I used to romanticize the fuck out of living in a small kind of rural town because I wanted to be the one indie girl in the town.
I used to as well. And then like, I feel like I used to do that a lot. And then I turned like 18.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I moved to Toronto and I was like, oh no. Only condos from here on
out. Oh my god. But no, do you ever feel like, I mean, maybe this is just everyone's queer fantasy, but I feel like part of that, like living alone in like an like small town as part of being like, I'm special.
Yes. There's something very, oh my God, like that TikTok trend.
We all just gently tucked our imaginary hair behind our ears. Yes.
It, no, actually.
There's definitely that. And there's also like, there's the feeling of like, you kind of want to, you have friends in high school, you have your little friends and you're kind of like, but what if I truly had like no friends and could just like do whatever the fuck I wanted? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like no one to kind of like no one to kind of call out your beat. Like you could be like the emo girl in class who would just be like, shut up, teacher. And you wouldn't have a friend that's like, are you okay?
Shut up, teacher. Teacher.
That's what I would say to all my
there
teachers.
There is something so funny about using the, what is it? What is that type of word called? Like grammatically, what is that called? Just like the basic, unspecific noun. It's just a noun?
Well, when I would work in daycares, teacher. They wouldn't call us like Mr. They wouldn't be like Mr. Ben or like
they'd
Mr.
be like so, teacher. So, like,
they'd just say teacher. They'd be like teacher. And at first it'd be like, oh, like I'm not your teacher. Yeah. But then after a month or two, I was like, I am your teacher.
the kids would just call me Abba.
I love that.
Just call me Abba. But it was so funny when I'd work in toddler rooms because toddlers are like, their attention is everywhere. So like they want to show me that they love me, but they also are like obsessed with what they're doing. So they'd be like eating and I'd walk in the room and they'd be like, Abba.
Yeah.
All the food would like fall out of their mouth. It was so
my
cute.
My favorite thing about toddlers is because they're all like in different phases of like development and like learning. Yes. They all have kind of their like own variation of a dialect. So you're like, there's certain toddlers, like, would you ever get one where you'd be like, I'm getting nothing from you. But then a toddler you're more used to, you're like, I understand the gibberish you're speaking.
I understand. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And they all sound like they're from like Brooklyn, Boston. Like that's always the kind of through line between all toddlers. Is it? And it's
you
like,
mean rude.
It has
something to do with it. That's just being like, rude. Like, exactly. Give me that.
Give me.
He's like, actually, the reason why the bagels are so great in Brooklyn is because of the water.
Give me that.
With their gun. It's Ben as a baby.
Give me that.
It's me as a baby.
No, babies are actually rude, though. I remember there was this one baby that always get pushed around. It's so funny that babies get bullied like at that young. There's this one baby who'd always get like really wrecked. And I'd always try and be extra nice to him. And one day I was like, Liam, are you having fun, Liam? Like trying to get him to smile because he was always so sad. This other really big kid who was always mean mugging me came out of nowhere, pushed him aside and went, me. And I'll never I think about that all the time. Me. Like what possesses a child?
That is like the purest form of like wanting attention, like not like feigning any like anything else but me. Like I just want you.
Pure unadulterated id, or whichever one is the like, raw emotion.
The bad one,
ego.
Some men never evolve from that, and we can
a lot of them don't. A lot evolve of from
we
that.
Can name names. Most the rest of this don't. Episode is us just naming names.
Oh my god, there should be like you know how like there's like. Never mind.
Remember that? Wait, but do you remember that meme? That girl, what was her name? Wasn't I don't know. She'd wear that really horrible makeup, and she'd
Miranda
have nails,
Sings.
And she'd no, and she'd have to do. Never mind. It's too far from the original conversation for me. She'd be like, a lot of you would be very scared. I don't even know why.
I don't know who this person is, but I love them.
I do too.
Oh god, she's not British. She's
Miranda Sings. I want to say, like, I never, and to this day, like, still a big question mark around who Miranda Sings is and what she kind of did.
Did you ever watch her show? Her show.
I never did because I was so late to YouTube culture because my parents were very like. Were anti-computer. I grew up Amish, but they were like, we didn't have like a computer in our house until like I was in grade 9, and by then I just like wasn't like on YouTube.
Into it. Yeah.
I just wasn't.
It's so interesting that you say that because I was on the computer way too early because my parents didn't know how to take care of children, so they were like, go and look at the screen. And I got into YouTube when YouTube was in its dark ages. Like when that guy, there used to be this guy who would make videos called Unforgivable and it would be him just ranting in the woods. And I would watch those videos and they were the most fucked up monologues I ever heard. And I was only 7.
What would he rant about?
He would just be like, he would just make shit up and say it in the most fucked up accent. Like, truly, it was gibberish. I should not have been watching it.
Oh, my
and,
God.
Yeah, and so I feel like I ingested so much of that nonsense that by the time YouTube was in that phase of, like, remixing videos, like, Shmoyoho and, like, Bedroom Intruder. Mm-hmm. You remember Bedroom Intruder? You don't have to call. We're looking for you. We're going to find you. We're going to find you. No?
I don't think I do. Wait, is this that man who's on the news?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes.
By the time rolled around, I was in grade six.
Is this
Hydra
Kids?
Is this
Hydra Kids? Okay, yes.
Yeah, Hydra so Kids, by the time Hydra, that yeah. came around, I was like, I'm off this. Like, I wasn't on YouTube anymore. So I missed out the whole Miranda Sings, like, YouTube people who are put together. I never experienced that.
Oh, who was that? There was that one that I was just, I never watched your video, but another one I was just kind of peripherally aware of was, Jennifer Marvel?
Jennifer Marvel. Okay.
Jennifer Marvel.
We're bringing up something really interesting. Jennifer Marvel. We're bringing up something really interesting.
Jennifer Is that her name?
Jenna.
It sounds... Jenna Marvel.
You gave her full name.
I'm adding more prestige. I'm like, actually, it was Jennifer Marbles. Yeah.
It was actually... Like, she's a Nobel Peace
Please
Prize
welcome to the stage, Jennifer Marbles.
Marbles.
But I Jennifer just remember, Marbles. Like, that being, like, this weird thing that felt like a unifier, like, in middle school in grade 9. Like, I remember, like... Everyone would just be talking about Jennifer Marbles, and I remember being like, I was like, are they on TV? Like, I didn't know.
Yeah, I was never into that.
And then by the time I found out, like, people could have cared less about her.
Yeah, well, it was so weird. Like, honestly, after YouTube came out of those dark ages, it became like capitalism got involved because you started getting paid from ads. So the better your YouTube video looked, the more. So they all became like really streamlined. Yeah. Like there are no weird YouTube videos.
That was the first YouTube video. Her video, I think it was called like how to trick people into thinking you're hot with makeup or something like that.
Yeah.
And that was like the first like step into the new YouTube. And it was like the first one to go viral and like. It's kind of like the blueprint for like, there's TikTok trends that are kind of based around that, where people use the audio of someone talking about the power of contouring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think did she retire? I think she's off YouTube now.
Yeah, she's made millions. Yeah. All those YouTube people have made millions. Yeah.
I
want to
go,
including Greg Brown.
Oh my God.
It's crazy to think that like, we know someone who bought a house.
YouTube bought this house.
We're really going off.
Like, I know. I'm like, is it unfair to Greg?
It's unfair.
I mean,
Greg, you have 24 hours to answer for your crimes. He's like an educator on YouTube.
No, Greg is honest. Honestly, I'd be sitting down and watching those ASAP fucking science videos.
They are educational. And also, like, was it, he taught like children IRL before?
I think so. Yeah.
See, that to me is they deserve. I think that I'm kind of like living a hero Disney princess narrative, and then I'm like, no, those are the girls.
Oh my god,
I was about to be like, I want a boyfriend out loud. I was about to say that. Just because but I think what I meant more
was. You know
was
what? You're
I
manifesting. You put it out on the podcast.
I'm manifesting.
Then, hey, you do, and it's okay. We all do. It's fine. You can want a boyfriend. Really? That's okay.
Because sometimes I find myself saying it out loud, and I'm like, I can't believe it's gotten to this place.
Say it out loud. It's better than tweeting, like, I want a hug or something.
Oh.
Don't virtue self.
A shiver just went down my spine.
Don't follow me. Yeah.
Or, like, when people kind of tweet being, like, so lonely, RN, it's like, no, like, just
masturbate. It's like, masturbate like the rest of us. Put something in your pussy. Like, don't terrorize and scale with nonsense.
I remember so clear. It was about to name her, but I can't. But there's this girl in my high school who was like her. You know how like there are always a couple people in high school's Facebook statuses were a little bit iconic. You know what I mean? Like you kind of be like, oh, did you see so and so's Facebook? And then like it would create a discourse, and like there'd be hundreds of comments, and maybe it would spur drama. Mm-hmm. But there was this girl who like I was never friends with, but I knew like everything about her life from her Facebook statuses, and I was in grade 9, and she was like,
I love
older.
Girls like that.
And it was so iconic, and she famously, and this is my favorite high school story ever.
Her name, it's all the story.
I can't, it's so hard. But basically, let's just say she was in a position of power in our school where she had her own space. She was school president. Okay. And she famously, like, had her own office, and, like, oh my god, I'm like, do we cut this out? No, we're keeping it. Okay, so she had her own office, and she, like, famously hooked up with her boyfriend in that office, and it was kind of like a thing that people like
Abba's headphone just fell out from shock.
And people kind of And people kind of knew about this, and it was kind of like, well, yeah, of course. Like, why wouldn't she? Like, it was like, whatever.
Dude, why wouldn't she?
It was very that. And yeah. But then famously, like, they broke up. And there was this famous fight where she hooked up with another guy in the office. And then the boyfriend was outside. And then she famously, and this is allegedly, threw a Rosedale Ravens cum-stained t-shirt at her ex-boyfriend from the office door.
That's a queen.
Slam the door shut.
That's a queen.
Is that not legendary?
That's like, a queen.
And then I remember like her making like a size being kind of like, I've done it before. I'll do it again to the effect. I'm like, I'm truly in my, this whole time I've been telling this story, there's a voice in my head being like, Ben, this has to be cut out.
Okay, I'll cut it out.
No, but, we should. Maybe we should.
Let's keep it. We'll decide that later.
Oh my god.
But I'm excited for our guest. I have a high school story that's along those lines that I will tell later on the podcast because I don't want to edge the audience anymore. But I'm so excited for the guest that we have today. Ben,
oh my god. Our guest, first of all, international. Which is wild. From coast to coast. Across the pond. As Minnie Driver would
as
say.
As she would say.
And literally, this truly, I forget that she's our age. I mean, obviously looking at her face, glowing, young, the vision of
she's
beauty.
She's giving me 16.
You. She's giving me 16. She's giving me 16, 17. But like, truly so accomplished. Someone who, I'm going to admit on air that I look up to in a lot of regards. She was the winner of the Chortle Student Comedian of the Year Award, which is a UK-based, I was about to say pageant. She's a pageant queen. She's a pageant queen.
For comedians.
Yeah. Pageant for comedians. She's written for the upcoming fourth series of Comedy Central's Roast Battle, Netflix's Death to 2020.
She's written for BBC's Have I Got News for You in Skies. Never mind the Buzzcocks.
That's a British
mind the Buzzcocks.
That's a British name if I ever heard.
Right? And she was tour support for Djibouti Young White. That's right, Gia Bucci, our cousin in crime.
So cute. Jamali
Maddox and Fern Brady. And yes. Wait, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, was he really cute in person, Djibouti?
I feel like he was.
Our guest is saying, like, of course. Oh, my God.
But please follow them on Instagram and Twitter. Their at is Erica Ehler. That's E-R-I-K-A-E-H-L-E-R. And without further ado, please welcome
Erica
Ehler.
Woo! Yes.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks so much for being here.
For coming.
Oh my God. How are you?
What time is it even? Are people obsessed with that? People obsessed are asking you that, I bet, in Canada. People are like, well, what time is it in the UK? It must be a different time there.
They do ask that quite a bit. When I was over back home, they would ask it here. It's like 9:30 right now.
Oh my God.
It's
fine. Okay. Oh my God. It's late. I outed myself as an old
Oh my God, but welcome. This is so beautiful that you, even though you're international and you're living in the Queen's backyard, you still made time for a little Canadian rinky dinky pod like us.
I don't know why, because you keep doing that accent for Minnie Driver. I'm now picturing The Crown reimagined, but with Minnie Driver playing the Queen.
I'd watch that Crown.
It would be on Lifetime.
It'd be good.
It would be on Lifetime.
Oh my god!
But Erica, how are you?
Yeah, how's the UK?
It's all right, man. I mean, like, yeah, they're chilling. They're maybe too much. You ask me. Yeah. I was in the store and like there were like about three people not wearing masks and like no one's gonna say anything.
God.
Like I'm part of, I'm like trying to rationalize. I'm like, okay, fair enough. 75% of the population have been vaccinated, but I'm like, I know you haven't. I know your ass has not been. You're just being a bitch and not putting it on.
Right? It's such a weird thing. Like I heard that the U.S. announced today that like if you've been vaccinated, you don't have to have a mask on in public unless you're like in a very crowded space. That doesn't make any fucking sense to me. Then people who are anti-maskers are gonna like, what are you gonna ask for their vaccination card?
So you have to set like stricter parameters, and like if you're in a crowded space, it's like anyone can be like, well, this isn't too crowded for me.
But right?
That was the thing that I heard, because I have a couple of friends who live in the UK, and that was kind of a thing of like throughout the pandemic, a lot of UK people were just doing do whatever they pleased.
Yeah.
Well, I think civil disobedience is kind of bred into them. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. I have family there, and they're like, I mean, it feels like everything has moved so quickly in the UK. Like last month or a few months ago when I spoke to them, they were like, we're dying. Well, they weren't actually saying that, but they're like, we can't see people on our driveways. Like they were like really complaining. And now my cousin's like, yeah, I'm back at work. Like my mom's going back to work. Like we're having family over tonight. Like everything has, it looks a lot better than Ontario. And you were saying before that you're happy you got out. So congratulations, bitch.
Congratulations. Yeah,
I was telling my friends, I was like, oh, I feel a bit guilty. Like, as soon as I left, everything is like, you guys are down bad, is pretty much how I put it. She told me off. She said, why do you feel guilty? You did the same fucking thing when you came back home to Canada at the start. You did it twice now. So she said, you just shut up and enjoy it. So I'm like, okay, you know, I will.
No, exactly. You have to enjoy it, because if not, then like, what's it all for, Erica?
Exactly.
It reminds. So did anybody here ever watch Lost? It's like when some people would leave the island, like the people would stay on the island and be like, "This sucks," but like at least someone's leaving, and that's you, Erica.
You're leaving the island.
You're leaving the island. And oh my god, I'm actually so jealous too, because like I feel like people in the UK. Okay, and this is. I mean, I've been proven wrong when I've been there, but people in the UK just are so funny to me that, like, they could do anything, and I'm like, that's silly. Do you find that, or are you kind of like, it's normal here?
I think that, like, I think especially in, like, the north of England, the crowd thinks they're definitely funnier than you, for sure. Mm-hmm. I will say, like, a lot of times it's, like, a fight. It's kind of fun, though, but, like...
Yeah.
But I remember, actually, this one Toronto comic who lives over here.
Names.
I don't like him, so. But okay. I'm not.
Name names in the chat. Erica, name names in the chat.
Yeah.
That's
so funny. But they were doing a show at the Fringe, and some typical, like, old English dude, like a bit rough, but his timing was impeccable, because this guy's bits, well, there's no joke really, but the guy kept just undercutting him every time he was like about to lead up to whatever the punchline was, air quotes, like, which is like, I forget now, but it was basically along the lines of like, your mom. Basically, like, and that was getting the biggest laugh from like the room.
Okay, I love that.
That's very funny.
That would be so intimidating. If they did that once to me, I would never return. I'd run away crying.
You know what I feel like about the UK and the comedy? I feel like people who are really good at writing are always like, I'm going to the UK. Like writers find great success in the UK. I'm honestly never gonna move to the UK. I can't write to save my fucking life. But do you find that it's more competitive there in terms of like comedians, you know, fighting to get into a room or like stage time? Is it like Toronto?
I think in London it's a lot like that. I will say you don't have to fight that much in Manchester to get on stage. Like there's like a few show up, go up mics here. There's none of that in London. The book in advance, and if they'll give you the spot. In terms of writers' rooms, like I think it is like whether or not a big part of it is if you have representation. I think it kind of gets you in the room a bit more. Not that there isn't open calls for things. Like there's something here called Newsjack, which is a radio show that is written by the public. But that's kind of every comic's first credit.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, and to be fair, like the producers on that are producers for other shows at BBC. So that, you know, so it is like, and there's like thousands of people submitting to that show when it's on. So I do think that it is competitive, but I've been having an okay time.
Like, I don't know. Exactly. I was going to say, you make it seem like you can show. I mean, obviously you're like super talented, but it's like, from what I've seen, it's like you arrived and it was like, you were booking. from the get-go.
Yeah. I think, like, there was, like, I think after, yeah, pretty much after university, it was pretty good. I mean, I obviously, and you guys would benefit from that, from this too, if you came over here, is that I'm a bit of a novelty with, like, my accent and
yes.
things like that. So already people are keen to listen to my voice when I'm on mm-hmm. stage because it's like, oh, I'm like, oh, it's like TV or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The funniest thing, and this is not, even from the person that I heard it from, it wasn't their idea, but something that I was told is British people are obsessed with North Americans and inherently find us attractive because most of the porn they consume is from America.
That's really weird. That is really weird.
So they're like subconsciously like, there's something sexual here.
Ew.
Okay. We all go over. We become porn stars.
We're like the North American cock destroyers.
Destroyers. Oh, I would love to be those.
Oh, fuck. It's Sunday.
My favorite video is the one where it's the POV, where it's like, we're trying to get up her skirt. She's like, get off my skirt, you little boy. Like, she's so angry. It's so good.
She's so funny.
Have you seen their, they also have like, they're booked and blessed as well, and they've been mm-hmm. doing a lot of, they do like they've done like sexual health ads where they talk about like the positive, the bonuses to using PrEP, and like they talk about like putting on a condom mm-hmm. as they condom. say. But I, those women, they truly are, I'm obsessed,
they're heroes
with them.
Yeah,
they're heroes. I feel them. Like they're probably, you know, like in LA now. Oh my god, no, Abigail. Yes,
you know it. Who else are heroes?
Excellent work.
Oh, and you know how, I want you guys all to understand how much my blood is boiling after saying that, okay?
It's but, heroes or villains. I think anti-hero for sure.
This is the ultimate nostalgia for me because I was really, really into Top 40 when this band was popular. So I'm excited to talk about them. You want to introduce America?
Oh my god, Erica, yep. Please.
LMFAO, baby!
Oh my god, Erica, and I say this all the time, but it's really beautiful when we get a case of like the artist is so emblematic of like our guest soul, their kind of sensibility, and it's like, of course Erica picked MFAO.
Yes. I mean,
it's so it was shocking, but also like I think it is peak nostalgia. We were all like truly children when they were at
14.
Their peak, and it was music made for children, I guess. They can't, I mean.
Yeah, Shots is famously for babies.
I'm in Miami, bitch. I don't know.
But I mean, children isn't like 14-year-olds.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, kids.
Drinking,
we were 13, yeah.
What's it called? Four Loko. Was Four Loko even around?
It was, I think.
There was more of a, I guess, no, it was. It was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. I just feel like I was scared of it because there was always a thing of like, you might get a kidney stone.
I wasn't even aware of Four Loko until it had been like taken away.
But oh yes, that was the thing. It was always being taken away, and it was always like you'd hear like on the headlines like, well, you know, like it's actually not allowed in America anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, well, now I want it even more.
Yeah. But oh my god, LMFAO, what a rancid time for me in my life aesthetically. Like in grade 8, how do I describe my look? I fucking looked like my aesthetic was a mixture of like a cheerleader that got hit by a car and like walked to a hospital. Like everything, like I was trying really hard to look like a cute preppy girl, but I didn't have any money, so it was like a lot of like tattered Blue Notes clothes and like a mixture of that and like really trying to look emo, so like a lot of shirts with like generic guitars on it and shit like that, and like what are those pants called? Gauchos.
Oh yeah.
A lot of gauchos. Yeah. What you guys look like in grade 8?
Oh my god, in grade. Well, I know for myself, I was truly skinny jeans, white H&M skinny jeans.
Yes. Oh my god. Yes.
A V-neck, of course. It was peak V-neck, in a fun color, and then put a hoodie on that, and you're literally like. You couldn't tell me that I wasn't like GQ. I was fashion. Yes. I was Teen Vogue. I was doing it all, and I was known for even like being stylish. And it was doing. I was wearing nothing. Like it was nothing
known
exciting.
For even being stylish.
Oh my god,
Erica, what about you?
I think I would similar. I would always wear hoodies to class, and then like a camisole, about probably like 12 camisoles on, like,
yes,
you know,
because that layering.
Was like the layer, yep. And then the one with that had like a bit of lace on it, you know,
yes, in always front of that. Lace, yeah,
yeah. Wore a lot of like DC, like the chunky DC shoes,
yes.
Roxy, a lot of rock, like just a lot of skate stuff because I wanted, because I thought that that's what boys liked. Because I think in grade 5, someone was like, "Oh my god, you got Roxy shoes," and I was like, "This is my life now." Yeah. Bankrupt my parents
That is so true. I feel like at that age, you get like one Converse. You're like, "Oh, like those are cool Converse," and you're like, "Converse are my thing. I wear Converse every day." I literally would do this thing where I would wear like different colored laces on my Converse. Like I'd have like one blue laces, one like orange. You switch it up, and like the Converse were probably like neon yellow. Like they were obnoxious. Yeah. But I thought that I was like, I was changing lives in the hallways. Like I was expanding people's minds, and
you were saving lives.
I was like, I was saving lives. I mean,
I remember I had this pair of Chucks that my dad got me for like grade 2008 Christmas or whatever, and I wore them to school that spring, and they were layered. On the inside they had like guitar picks and skulls, and on the outside it was just black, so I'd like fold over the first layer and like expose the second layer, and I remember everyone be like, whoa, like teachers would be like, cool shoes. Like I was really fucking feeling myself. And my dickhead brother, one day I come home from rehearsal, I open my closet door and my shoes are there. They're chucked in a fucking corner and they're caked in mud. And I go into my brother's room and I was like, did you wear my Converse? And he was like, no, his fucking jeans are caked in mud too. And I was like, you wore my Converse. And then I was like, okay, you are in grade 3. I am in grade 8. How did you wear an 8th grader's shoes? And I told him to put them on. And it looked like he had put a baguette on his feet.
A baguette.
It was so big. I wish I could find the picture.
God, that's so cute. Literally, your brother is evil for doing that to you. But I appreciate the commitment to the lie. And that, like, Converse are like those one shoes where it's like, you know, you know like how long you've been wearing them, or how long, or how like new they are by how many times you've worn them. It's like, you could tell.
Exactly. You can always tell. You can always tell.
But did anyone here ever own Heelys or Wheelies?
Never. My parents wouldn't let me. Did Erica, you own them, Erica?
I did. I remember getting pulled off in a mall in Boston once for wearing them.
Once in Boston, their culture is being rude.
Being rude, Erica. What happened?
That's extremely specific.
Like a mall cop was like, "Yeah, you can't be wearing that." And then I was like, "They're my shoes." I'm like, it's not like I have an extra pair. Yeah. These are my footwear for the day.
All people, Paul, like, Blur. You're a virgin.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
That is so funny. Those are my shoes. It's crazy. I feel like there was a really weird like time in late 2000s where clothes had like a utility. Like, you know, like shoes weren't just shoes. They had like a pocket. It's just dumb shit. I'm really happy that we're out of that time. But every time I think about 2008, 2009, I think about how often I'm in Miami Bitch was on the radio. What's the first LMFAO song you ever heard? Were you like everyone else where you heard shit on the radio, or like did you find them before like they became popular?
Was I the hipster of LMFAO?
Erica.
New hipster dropped.
Like the manager at like, I don't know why Ticketmaster is coming to my mind. What's the any Sony? Any record label.
Interscope Records.
Yeah, and they signed, like you signed them. You're like, this is gonna be huge. You're at the end of a long boardroom table.
You're like, you're gonna have the next strokes.
Your career is on the line for this decision. They're like, Erica, we really don't know about LMFAO. And you're like, just listen.
Just party rock.
Just, oh my
this
God.
Nephew-uncle duo will blow your tits clean off.
Oh my God.
I think the first song, I think I would have heard it via the radio for sure. Yeah. Something like 99.9, I think it was called.
Yeah.
Like, yes. It wasn't called Virgin back then. It was called, like, Mix.
Or Kiss.
It was
called, that, yeah, Kiss FM. Yeah,
was it Kiss? Name. Was it ever Kiss FM? FM? Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was another one. There was 103.5 Z.
Z, yeah.
Yeah,
Z103.
Yeah. Yo, I used to listen to the radio like shit. I used to listen to Flow 93.5.
Oh,
Flow 93.5 still around.
Still around.
I was the only black radio station.
Like, I would wake up really early at my old job here at, back in London, and yeah. I would play Kiss Night through my phone, and then like my coworkers would be like, they play this at 5 a.m. in Canada. I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
They do. Yeah.
What are English people playing at 5 a.m.? Like Gregorian chants?
I don't know.
It's Beethoven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my respecting god. I love that. That's like their window in Canadian culture.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh my god. What is it? Yeah, so like we were talking about how LMFAO, they're always playing at children's parties.
Always.
But they're thinking about the they're rapping. You know what?
Are they rapping?
That was really gracious of me.
It was.
They're singing about the most asinine shit. Like truly the most disgusting shit. But it was so like kids love this shit. I know I did too. Did you ever like take in the lyrics? Did you ever want to do the things they talked about in the songs? Because I feel like LMFAO made me a whore person.
Oh my god.
Personally.
Personally. For me.
For me personally, it did make me a big slut.
It definitely influenced me in my decisions, especially probably with alcohol. That's about kind of the only drug I really intake. And I feel like it definitely
I
was gonna say, did you guys know that they so they have I Am in Miami Bitch, but they also released an entire album of that same track but replaced it with local Canadian cities?
Stop it.
That is so stupid.
No,
I'm in Hamilton.
They did.
You're fooling.
Where is this? Oh, I'm looking for it.
There's one called I'm in Toronto Trick.
Insane.
No.
Asinine.
How have like Toronto people not like exhausted that song already? I feel like I'm sure like Mayor Tory retweeted it.
Oh my god.
Willing to bet my life.
No, he didn't like black people yet. It wasn't until Drake was always in the top
40.
It's
generous of you to even say that today he likes black people.
Yeah, yeah. He truly does not. He never will. But
that
oh my god, what
is so ugly. Sorry.
What a specific... No. I was just thinking about what a specific time this was for music and fashion. It was a specifically ugly time.
Chaos reigned.
I'm looking at... Right? I'm looking at a picture of them now, and it was like, what was going on in the world? But do you know the story of how they got together as a group, as like a nephew and an uncle?
I don't, but I assume that it... Well, they're... I think Red Foo's dad is the godfather of Motown. So I assume he had something to do with it.
Who's Red Foo's dad? Oh my god.
Who's Red Foo's dad?
Barry Gordy.
Oh my god, what the fuck? Okay, this is always so interesting to me. Imagine you have been so influential in this genre that people really take seriously, and there are award shows based around this genre, and your family members also decide to pursue music, but they pursue it as if they have insane cocaine addictions they're trying to make money to satiate that
to me.
Like, this is insane.
I will get myself a PhD and be a therapist in this moment where I'm like, it all makes sense. Like, this is the breakthrough of like, of course they make this type of music. Like, imagine growing up and like your family's like kind of like under this umbrella prestige. Like, it's like everyone's talking about like how great like your musical like great grandparent was.
I think dad.
Dad,
like,
see,
like
even,
literally, exactly.
Even closer.
Yeah,
so it's like your dad is literally like, your dad is like a star. You're probably gonna be like, well, I'm gonna make yucky stuff to make daddy angry.
Oh my god,
so, is what I think.
So you start shuffling.
That is really interesting to me.
Oh, wow. Were you the kind of kid that was super into music, or did you just listen to whatever was on the radio, like just whatever was passing?
I think I was super into music, but not necessarily what was on the radio. I'll actually say that
what were you into?
Back then I just listened to like Nirvana and like
yeah
sad sad shit like that.
Yeah.
I was a huge Pearl Jam fan at grade 8.
Oh my god, that's such a specific kind of kid.
Yeah,
that is so, Erica. That tells me a lot about. Did you ever listen to the Eddie Vedder the ukulele songs album?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
What's the vibe of that? What's that like?
Sad.
Oh no.
But it's good. It's good.
Daddy didn't give attention. Is you imagining like a ukulele being strummed back?
But I remember that listening to that, I think like in this would have been like around LMFAO time, I think. Because I remember listening to that grade 8, grade 9 and being like, this is my secret sad album.
Aww.
Yeah. As you lace up your neon Converse.
Oh, and there was this t-shirt I would wear, and I forgot to mention it. This is like peak graphic tee, like H&M culture, where it was like, and I'm admittedly and prepared to tie me up in the town square and have the old women spit on my body for saying this. As they did a la Mussolini. That's my favorite. I love to harken back to Mussolini. But
are you sick? But I'm, that's so funny.
But I'm a comic book fan. I love Marvel. And there was this a Marvel character named Galactus who's like an evil villain. He's like a big celestial monster. And this t-shirt, I kid you not, was a page from the comic full of dialogue, like a truly insane amount of dialogue. Like people, like, and I was a kid too, so people in class would like stop and like want to read the whole thing, and it was a lot. And it was so obnoxious, bright canary yellow.
Ew.
Neon pink. The text was like, you know when like Steph, I don't know what it's called, but when, like the lettering on shirts, it feels like it's
embossed,
like a sticker. Like it's just like a big not like part of, it's not like ink on a shirt. It's like,
yeah, it was, it's like you can peel it off.
You could peel it off, but I mean, it was H&M, so I bet you could. I would wear that, and it would, the yellow of that shirt would match almost perfectly my Converse.
But that was the vibe. Okay.
And I thought I was killing it. I knew I was killing it.
But you were though. I grew up in Brampton, and like, you know, you were a hot boy when you came to school and you had like a purple shirt with like the purple shoes to match. Okay, bitches from Toronto who were on Tumblr circa 2007 to 2015. You probably followed some nigga named Chucky.
Chucky.
Okay? I knew Chucky.
Chucky.
I knew Winston. That was his government.
Winston.
And he was popular on Tumblr for matching his shirts to his shoes. Like, he'd wear a gold shirt, but with, like, gold, like, Air Forces or something.
That's so
cool. And everyone was obsessed with him. Like, that was the vibe. Isn't it insane how far fashion has come? Like, you actually have to wear an outfit
now.
Yeah. You can't just wear nonsense.
And almost, it's like, when if you match your shoes to your shirt, there are some people who might even be like, that's not fashion.
That's tacky.
And it's like, but there's something so, like, clean and, like, almost comforting about that look. Like, if a guy did that now, I'd be like, you know what? He probably like knows his way around a kitchen.
Oh my god. The early 2000s, Abba, you put it so perfectly. Because it wasn't even just like kids were dressing ugly. Everybody dressed so fucking ugly. Like, I'm imagining Ashley Tisdale with like a macrame scarf tied around her head. It's like in her hair. And then Erica, like what you were saying, like layered tank tops with the lace at the bottom. Jeans that were boot cut.
Just excess.
Jeans that were boot cut. Yes. And then high heel, gladiator, like strappy sandals that like tied around the outside of the boot cut jeans. Like it was ugly.
Oh, so stupid. It was an ugly time.
And skirt over the jeans.
Skirt over the jeans.
Lest we forget. Always. Skirt over the jeans. If that came back, I'd actually be so happy. LMFAO style was like, it was, it's like.
Discount section H&M.
It
really was. And they started, I feel like they were really big in like colorful leggings for men.
Yes.
You know, like, what that I'm was just their realizing?
Vibe. Yeah.
They're black.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I thought we had talked about it already. Yeah.
They are two black men.
Because they say the N-word in one song, and my friend was like, is this allowed? And I'm like,
is this allowed?
I'm like, yeah, I mean, it is.
Is this allowed?
Oh my god.
Oh my god, they are too, I don't know. It's with music like this, because it's so insane, I always assume it's parody music. I always have to remember that they did accept an award on stage and end their speech by going like, what did they say? They said, dance music is back, baby, as if the music they were making had prestige.
Mm-hmm. Oh, oh no. Old school shall rise again,
yeah,
children.
It's just such a funny stance to take as someone who's making future shit for music. But do you think, Erica, I want to know your take on this. Do you think a band like LMFAO could ever exist again in this day and age?
No.
Absolutely. Like, what was going on? That's what I want to get to the point of this, though. What was going on in 2008 that allowed a band like this to exist?
I feel like, you know, they had a lot of gimmicks, and I feel like that was something that in that period of time was very, trendy or accepted, and it put you in front of the pack, I guess.
Yeah.
And they had the shuffle robot.
The shuffle robot.
And now that you're saying it reminds me, I'm thinking about their music videos, and it also reminds me that, like, they existed in a time where not all music videos were 720p. Like, now that's, like, the base standard. But they had one of the first, not one of the first, but they were one of the first artists to have music videos that, like, didn't look like complete garbage, that had some type of quality to them. That's really sad. But speaking of which, what's your favorite LMFAO video?
I think I actually rewatched them recently in the summer with friends, and we were just, like, shocked. And they kind of, I wish I could tell you which one, but they are of all blended together.
Yeah. I was going to say.
They don't have a premise.
No, they're very similar. They're all very similar and yet very different, and they make no sense. Yeah, the only one I can say that and I wouldn't even call it my favorite, but I can vividly remember and pull it away from the other ones is the Every Damn Shuffling one. Because I do know that they do iconic, like, flash mob type things in there. But there's one that's like, they're like in a weird house, and I don't know what song that
is. I can't remember what it is, but the lyrics are like in my mind. It's the one where it's like you're swimming through a pool and you come up on the other side of
It's called Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it's called Yes.
The thing, they're so ugly. The thing about them is that their songs are about how many women they fuck. A lot of them are. And I'm like,
who won?
That's crazy. I love that for you. But I'm also realizing that they came around in a time where, like, black people were doing pop music. And at the time, I thought it was good. But now that I look back, they were giving the black community a bad name. Like, LMFAO was signed under Will.i.am Music Group.
That makes so much sense to me. That makes all the sense in
the world. The man who made Scream and Shout.
That, to me, like, sonic, like, tonally, that just, that is the whole, of course Will.i.am had his grubby little fingers.
Can I say something? I think that Hollywood was coming to terms with the fact that, I don't know, it's like, this isn't true, but I'm going to say it anyways. As black people continued to get liberated more and more during the early aughts, black cis hetero men were given far too much reach and power with what they could do in the media. And I shouldn't say black cis hetero men, because that's not true. A lot of, like, Timbaland was crazy amazing and influential, but men like Will.i.am, I'll say men like Will.i.am, were given far too much reign, because think about what things looked like aesthetically. It was ugly nerd boys who watched too much anime, who were taking over the media at that time. Like, watch a single Kanye music video and you can't tell me that it wasn't influenced by a guy who's, like,
even
constantly...
in comedy.
Exactly.
Even in comedy, that at that time it was like, I'm a nerd, I'm a nerd, but I'm a misogynist.
I'm a nerd, but I'm a misogynist.
Oh my god, that was peak Big Bang Theory.
Yeah,
as well, because remember that was like all the rich people were like, being a nerd is in.
Yeah, that was the vibe. Being a nerd is in.
And Will.i.am, he was.
Will.i.am, there's this bit in, I think it's, what's that song that he did with Nicki Minaj? I can't remember, but I canceled him in my mind when he said this line in a song with Nicki Minaj where he said, it's mega nigga, mega ultra nigganator. I was like, you recorded this and put this on a track.
Oh my god.
You're not seeing heaven.
You're
you
not
said
seeing
it's ultra
heaven.
What?
You're
not seeing
heaven. You said it's ultra what? I don't know. He just got far too familiar with the audience. But I'm happy LMFAO never really did anything like that. They were just embarrassing aesthetically.
Their aesthetic, it was also, like, very... It reminded me of how, like, every music video was, like, neon house party with those glasses. Yes. With the Kanye, like, shutter. Yes. Like, it was that,
words
like...
words on it.
With words... Oh, yeah. Of course.
Soulja Boy started that.
Oh, Soulja Boy started a lot of trends. True. And some of them were really
dancing
good.
Dancing in the pool? I'll remember. I don't know why, but forever, that'll always, like, when I saw Formation for the first time, I was like, that's a reference to Soulja Boy. Which is so humiliating.
Swag, sir. I hate you.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's very funny. That is very, very funny. Oh my God. Oh my God. But this is such a weird time too. I feel like when people talk about their adolescence and like just like how they experience, you know how everyone's doing that weird performance in grade 7, 8 of like being an adult, like I want to drink, I want to dance, I want to kiss people, but you do it in the most awkward way possible. Everyone has a cool band or group that colored that time for them. You know what I mean? But for us, I feel like we have LMFAO. Like we've been robbed of this thing. Like we can't romanticize.
Imagine your first kiss was to shot.
Oh my God. Well, I'm sure for a lot of people, for me, for sure. I know.
No, literally that song was, it's just like, it was everywhere.
Or even like to make it not romantic, like on the other side of things, because as like as much as there's like high highs for people during that time period, there's also low lows. Like imagine you're at a house party, your crush either kisses someone else or breaks up with you, and LMFAO is the soundtrack to that moment. Is there anything more tragic?
I think it would lessen the blow.
Yeah.
But again, do you think it was the I think that surely the economic crash has something to do with the surge of listens to LMFAO. I feel like people were hitting their rock bottom.
Oh my God. That time. That's when the real estate bubble popped and LMFAO were like, we know exactly what everybody needs.
Fast fashion was on a high.
Fast fashion.
That's true.
The real estate bubble popped.
No, truly. And like, I mean, in a time where people were literally living in foreclosed homes and people were being evicted, they said, you can have a house party with us, honey. And
exactly. I think that,
but Erica, I must know, do you, like, are there any LMFAO songs that you still listen to? Or, like, even ironically, like, if they come on, are you like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Which
one specifically?
Yes. Yes, I listen to quite a bit. I listened to it quite a bit this summer, like when we were going to road trips to like create memories during this horrible time. One of my favorite ones is we put Yes on, and then we were just singing it on like the like the highway. I love
that. See, that's fun to listen to it with friends. Like LMFAO, like that could be a fun.
It's a singing road trip.
Yeah,
song, for sure.
But I would even listen to it like when. You know, when capitalism was in full force, when I was going to my day job before, I would I'd go wake up at like 5 a.m. be so dead on a packed subway, you know, into the center of London, and just be listening to LMFAO, like kind of like zoned out, just to like trying to pump myself up to like go serve customers. Like it was She Wolf was on that play. It was like a morning. Yes. It was like morning mix of like. 6 songs that I just kept repeating just to be like, all right, wake up.
That's what, Erica, you kind of have to send me that playlist because I'm already, like, now that I know the first 2 songs, I'm like, this is telling a story. Oh my God, that's incredible.
That is so funny. Okay, we used to ask, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to, this is like truly a departure and of course it has all to do with me and nothing to do with our guest or our artist, but my parents always have the Latin music channel on our house on Stingray, like, you know how on Stingray you have like TV channels of music, and there's always like twice a day I can count on hearing Shakira singing She Wolf in Spanish, and like it's like it's so good, but I listeners treat yourself, listen to it in Spanish, it you take yourself on a little vacation with it. It is truly so joyful.
I used to love that
song. Me too. I do still, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And She-Wolf in Spanish is Luba. How fun is that?
Luba. There's a Luba.
Or Lupa. Sorry. Oh. I literally said Lubas and Luba Magnus.
Yeah, I was like, is that what her name means?
Her name means a She-Wolf. Woman wolf.
Or no, wait, it is Luba. I don't know. Sorry.
I'm in no position to correct.
My favorite line of that song is, I'm starting to feel just a little abused like a coffee machine in an office.
It's a very, super clever line.
Yeah.
I feel like that was like a network note for her. Like they were like, you can have the abuse line, but it cannot be domestic.
No, you have to moan at the end to indicate that you like it.
Imagine your coffee machine, you have like a Breville or like a Nespresso, and when your coffee's ready at the end of it, it's like finished like steeping all the coffee through the filter, and it's like that's how you know it's done.
Oh my god, that's your Dragon's Den pitch, Aiden.
That is. Gotta make that product happen. I think you're gonna make lots of money with that. So we used to ask this question all the time. I don't know why we stopped asking this question. I feel like, I don't know, we just haven't been talking about bands where it applies, but I feel like it applies with this band. What is your favorite stunt that LMFAO has ever pulled? And it doesn't have to be like an explicit stunt. Like it can be just like a moment that was so insane.
Right. So Red Foo has a Grammy.
Mm-hmm. That's a stunt.
For writing. I'm pretty sure he has a Grammy for it. If not, if he doesn't, it's still insane. He has a writing credit on King Kunta for...
really?
For Kendrick?
Yeah.
For Kendrick?
Yeah.
Like, King Kunta, I have a bone to pick? Like, where were you when I was walking?
God, the whole... Town Talk. I forgot that song. One of the lyrics was still.
Oh my god, that's a good. I was at the club and that song came on, and I was like, I know a white person is DJing because what?
Oh my god.
That's not really something you dance to.
You shouldn't dance to that song. Yeah, it's inappropriate.
Yeah.
No.
But oh my god, that is it's insane, but it makes sense. I feel like there are so many people in the industry who are like that, who are just really weird and kind of like tacky in the music that they do, but they write really great shit.
Like Jessie
J.
It has to
be a stunt. Some of their aesthetic has to just be them being stupid. Mm. But
yeah, I think it's like, you know, the music business particularly is such a harsh one. If you can do anything to kind of,
give yourself a leg up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is so funny, though.
I just like so truly, funny. I wonder, because like famously uncle and nephew duo. Yes. I wonder, like, at what age did the uncle, like, kind of look at his nephew and be like,
"You got it, kid.
I want to make some money. Like, I want to tour the world with you. Like, there's something here. Yeah. Like,
let's make songs about fucking women.
Women. Imagine that tour bus, though. Like, your uncle.
Thank you. I was just gonna say
slamming groupies.
You know, thank you. There had to have been groupies on that tour bus. I know they were having sex, group sex. I know all of them were having
100%.
That's so random.
Me and Abba have now back-to-back broken Ben. I don't think we've ever grossed you out before, Ben, and this marks that historic date of rapid succession.
Ben, you can co-sign family dick, but you can't co-sign IRL family dick. Get with the program.
I love LMFAO is IRL family dick.
Do you know about Family Dick, Erica?
I love Nate. Erica, I'll fill you in. And this is great that we brought this up, because Family Dick actually went under a rebrand and have a different name, and the name is perfect for LMFAO. So Family Dick, it's a gay porn studio that is. And okay, when I say this out loud, I feel like listeners must be like, oh my god, Ben's sick. I say incest themed in that it's like step siblings, stepfather. Like that type of thing. And I honestly don't watch a lot of porn, I swear. Mostly I look, and
to
this
clarify just
sound...
quickly for Ben.
What do you mostly jack off to?
They are playing step siblings or playing. Like they're not actually.
Exactly.
Related.
It's not real. Mostly, and I will say this, okay, I either masturbate to my imagination or this makes me maybe sound even a bit creepier, but like vintage like kind of like men's health, like men's spa or like men's locker room, like pictures. Like I'm talking like Life magazine, like pictures of like a 1920s, like Yankees baseball changing
room. But I feel like that's common.
Exquisite. Or
amongst the gays.
Or literally, okay, this makes me sound even more twisted, because sometimes when I watch porn, I actually don't like seeing, like, an orifice being penetrated or the actual phallus, whatever. Yeah, I'm actually turned off by it. In fact, like, I miss the mystique.
It's too much.
But you could watch, like, there's a site. Wait, this makes me, I literally, like, I don't watch a lot of porn. I'm like, here's a couple of sites.
And then you're giving us all these suggestions, but there's, and links.
Where you could just watch, like, gay sex scenes, or kind of, like, sex scenes like leaning towards the gay or female gaze, where it's just like from movies or TV shows and like around the world, where like literally it's just,
that's
kind
why
of, like,
I love her to a sex scene.
It's almost like tasteful, yeah, literally. It's almost just like tasteful, what's it called, softcore porn at this point.
Aww. So you watch softcore porn
basically. But then this is also another development, and by this point I'm just outing myself as a porn addict.
We asked you to define what family dick was, and you're like, okay, so here's the thing, I light a couple candles, it's 4 p.m.
But so I watch and get this is gag of the century, straight porn, but it's okay. It's filmed for gay men and for like straight
okay
women. So it's like, it'll be like a man and a woman having sex, but it's like not for the male gaze, which I almost find is, and like literally they'll do like an interview before and after. It feels like they're friends. They'll talk. It really does feel like nice. It's not like a woman truly being like destroyed by some man and her like.
So I have a follow up on this. Something. So Erica, I told Abba and Ben yesterday that I signed up for someone's OnlyFans, and then I like realized that like immediately I didn't enjoy it, because I was like, it's literally like, imagine getting a screen like a streaming service where every movie is starring Scarlett Johansson. I'm like, I obviously don't want this. But then
I
like discovered one yesterday. So after they were done, the like guy, the other person in the scene was like, did you like that? And then the camera person broke the fourth wall being like, yeah, you did like that. And it was a woman. So it was the female gaze the entire time.
I love that. Oh my God. I love it when it's a woman.
It rocks.
Oh, and you can tell. You can.
Because to Ben's point, it wasn't like a close-up on like orifices where I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I know. Sometimes I do that and it's like, I know what's happening. Yeah. But that is all to say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll just say that Family Dick changed their name to Say Uncle. So, I mean, for LMFAO.
Perfect. This is, I think, a heroic segue on our part.
This is insane. LMFAO is such a weird band to talk about, because they don't even have that much. Like, they have two albums.
Yeah, and they peaced.
I think that's so funny. I want to know about the band from their perspective, which begs the question, if the band were to come back and do, I'm saying the band like they're a legit, they're LMFAO. If they were to come back into the public eye and release something, it could be anything, any project, what would you want them to release?
I think sketch duo.
You want it to be a sketch duo?
Sketch duo.
What kind of sketch would it be? Would it be leaning towards like
alt, they should be alt.
Alt? Yeah.
I was like, gonna say vaudevillian, like bring back like old school big hammer, like Tiny Apple.
Oh my God.
I don't know what vaudeville humor is.
Well,
I think I don't know if I made this up, but I'm pretty sure Red Foo in particular hosted one of Much Music's like spring break things. Like,
oh my God, I'm not.
No, I don't think
that.
You made that up. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised by that at all. That's so funny.
Sketch duo would be, I mean, they're already working towards that, it seems.
Yeah, I do feel like they have very good comedic timing, whether mean to or not, you know.
Yeah. I could see them doing something with Eric Andre.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God. But I feel like if they did something with Eric Andre, they wouldn't be in on the joke. Like, Eric Andre would probably be, like, making fun of them.
I feel like, as ill as they are, I feel like they're always in on the joke.
I think so, too.
Okay, yes.
I don't know. Do you agree, Erica? Everyone else?
I will say I think they are self-aware with, like, how they are. It's, like, I think they know that they are inherently very cringe. But they're, that's what makes money. So.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, I wonder if I feel like at the time, the uncle, I bet for sure, like, knew that they were making, like, aesthetic choices that to drive their career. And it probably wasn't like, this is what the inside of my soul looks like, or these neon leggings. And if they are, I celebrate that. But I feel like the nephew, especially, I'm sure, like, as he's grown, has probably been like, like, that certainly was a product of, like, a time and place in pop culture, because I feel like when it's happening, like, people weren't, like, I feel like, especially as teens, like, we weren't listening to LMFAO, like, ironically, like, we were genuinely having fun yep. to them.
Yeah.
And I feel yeah. like they were aware of that as well. But I feel like mm. now maybe they're, like, maybe they're in a position where they have to be in on the joke. Otherwise, it's, like...
Interesting.
It would okay. be delusional.
I guess I get what you're saying here. You're saying that retroactively they've yeah. seen the parody of
yeah, their ways. Or at least they must have, because I feel mm. like history is not
kind.
Look at them too kindly kidding. Afterwards.
Yeah, like, they died.
No, I said history is not kind.
Oh, I thought you said they died, no. and I was like,
no, well, I don't know about Sky Blue, but I think. They're both alive.
Yeah.
Although no, I'm sure we would have heard if they died.
Yeah. That's the thing about a band like this. Like, if one of them dies, how will the internet react? Because, you know, like, when somebody like DMX yeah. dies, like, everyone's like, yeah. very earnest, very sincere. Like, these are the things he did for the community.
Yeah.
These are the things he stood for. What are they going to say about Redfoo? You know, like, I genuinely am curious if, like, stories are going to come out where people are going to be like, he wrote this, and he wrote this, that, and the other, and behind the scenes, this is what he did for the industry. Like, I'm genuinely curious.
I want them
to do a documentary.
Especially considering who they're related to as well. Yeah. It's like yeah. there's genuine talent there. And I feel like they probably grew up with a love of music. I mean, yeah. I'm assuming. I'm waiting for the autobiography of LMFAO.
Can I pitch something that's potentially controversial? I feel like there's like a certain, like, not to say that I like think that they sold out, and it just wasn't particularly highbrow, but I think they knew exactly what they were doing, in the same way that, like, to play dumb, you have to be smart. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's Aiden. Intentionality yeah. there. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Aiden. Yes, Aiden, well, you've turned me before.
Exactly,
I was talking in my hole, being like, they probably thought they were rock stars, and I'm like, you know what?
No, like, in on you
the
know
whole time.
How bands like Milli Vanilli will, like, they were on Oprah, like, years after, decades after their success, and they're like, we got fucked over big mm-hmm. time, and they made us look like idiots. I wonder if there's a story there.
Interesting.
Oh.
Like that about LMFAO.
They were like, we didn't want to go by LMFAO. We wanted to go by Laughing My Ass Off. They made us.
Okay, so I was just reading what they originally wanted to go by. And
oh, shit.
Yeah, buckle up. Put your seatbelts on, because it was... Oh, my God. I need to find it again so I don't fuck this up. They originally wanted to go by Sexy Dudes.
Yeah, I can't.
Erica's upset. Respect.
They knew, like, you know, like, we are not sexy dudes, but if we say it enough, the people might will believe it.
Yes.
You know,
yes, fake it till you make yeah. it. Yeah,
just like OJ,
fake it till you make it. Innocent.
I think it is.
It's crazy. It's actually real.
God. Fake it till you make it is real. It really is, because there have been numerous times where I've been like, you know, I don't want to be a bitch, but I'm going to be a bitch. And now I'm a bitch. The more times you fake being a bitch, you become an actual bitch.
Wow.
I think that it's good for women and femme people in general to fake it till they make it. But yeah. People like LMFAO, I've now been, I'm wondering if there's something there in what you're saying.
Really? We're okay, because we're turning, because I literally, the more we've all been speaking on it, I'm like, no, like, the music industry is not, like, as much as we like to think, like, oh, artists are plucked from obscurity, and, like, no, it's like every, even like our most, like, down to earth artists, there's a manufactured narrative, yeah. like, there are teams put in place. I've nothing about LMFAO, especially now that I think about how elaborate it all was, nothing could have been accidental. Like, it had to have been.
It's
like,
all variants.
It really yeah. did have to be like, okay, and, you know, you guys yeah. are going to be wearing Speedos on stage. How do we feel? Yeah. You know what I mean? I feel like they're not like, we got to wear Speedos on stage, you know?
They're the kind of guys that look like they're the kind of guys you see at Sneaky D's Wednesdays at 8 p.m. before the floors even open.
You at Sneaky D's, ABBA, you had me there, because they're
those guys.
They bartended at Sneaky D's. They've been there for years. Like, yeah.
Yeah. okay. Well, this has been a crash course in LMFAO. Thanks so much for being on the podcast, Erica. What can we look forward to? And what are your ats? Where should we find you?
I have a set coming out. I can't say who it's with. I've been told not to.
Okay, that's okay.
But yeah.
That'll be it televised?
Nope. It's not.
Okay.
That's
fine. But so much mystery. No, I love that. I mean, truly, listeners, okay, literally as I'm chewing, I'm decided to talk. But listeners, just know Erica's super, super funny.
Very funny.
Just like, follow them. Stand up, hilarious. Erica, the last stand up show I did, I mean, it was in October, but it was outdoors. But the last stand up show I did in months and months was actually yours. I literally just remember that now.
Was that Halloween?
It was Ghost Orgy Halloween.
Yeah.
And there was candy. Gosh.
I was dressed up as Dennis Rodman, and I actually walked behind you, and I was like, oh, that's when we were going up to the venue on Ossington. I was like, oh, that's Ben. And then I was gonna, you had headphones in, and I was like, oh, I look like an insane person. I'm not gonna scare him. I'll say hi to him when we get to the venue, because he'll probably think I'm trying to mug him.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's insane.
I'm like, eek, Dennis Rodman, I run away. But no, truly, Erica's so, so funny. I really do. I think our listeners would appreciate your very, and forgive me if I'm mislabeling the show, but very dry, very kind of like deadpan. I love it. I love that. And I love that you brought LMFAO. I feel like a little tween after talking about LMFAO.
I thought you were going to say twink.
No, I'm not a twink. I'm a listener's note, because I'm sure I sound like the twinkiest twink that ever lived. Listeners know that I'm an otter. Okay.
You do sound like an otter. You sound really? Like a hipster gay. You do sound like a hipster. Oh,
you do sound like an otter.
When I'm editing, I'm like, he could maybe be straight, but for sure is
no,
gay. There's that
really?
Vibe. There's that.
There are times where sometimes I'll talk and I'll kind of like, it's more when I get a little bit tired, and then my voice will kind of like relax a bit, and then I'll be like, who's that man?
Oh my god.
And she's from the valley. She's from the valley. She's from the valley. Oh, let me that vocal fry. Fry, oh, honey.
But yes, yeah. But yeah. No, please. I was just going to say, Eric, just stay tuned for Erica's special, whatever and whoever that may be with. Exciting, exciting. Watch all the projects Erica's written for. Absolute. And where can we find you on social media?
Just on Twitter and Instagram at Erica Ehler. So E-R-I-K-E-H-L-E-R. Yeah.
Perfect.
You can see me post about horniness sometimes.
Your tweets are so good.
I love it.
I think I subtweet a lot, and I do feel like ABBA particularly always knows who I'm talking about. Sometimes I put stuff on my close story just for her. I'm just like, just for ABBA and just for Brandon. It's the two of you. I'm like, they need to see this.
And we noticed.
Oh my god.
Yeah. No, because both of them will message me.
like it'll be like Erica will be like posted 56 seconds ago. I'm like, bitch, is it about this person? Honestly, the amount of tea that's spilled in close stories
is incredible.
Just know, if you do something really fucked up and cringe, we're watching.
We know.
Yes. I'm not gonna
we're
leave
watching,
this morning up
and here. We're spreading it.
We're spreading it. And just know
your secrets aren't safe.
Just know that comedians are the kind of girlies that learned from Snapchat days that you don't have to take a screenshot. You get your girlie to record your screen as you play it, mm-hmm. and then we can share that mm-hmm. shit far and wide.
Exactly, stupid. Follow us. God. We're so messy. Follow us at Nostalgic Pod. Nostalgic Pod on Instagram and Twitter, please. Interact with our content. It helps the fucking algorithm, please.
I know.
Follow me at ABAQUANN on Instagram, one less N on Twitter.
Oh my god. You can follow me at Ben So Sorry. I love my favorite thing to do on this podcast is talk about like a niche like comedy drama.
So
or just
stupid.
Like yucky or just yucky comedians being yucky. But yes, follow me at Ben Sosa Right on all social media platforms.
I noticed on your Instagram yesterday that you were Ben Sosa Right now, all one word, and I was like, RIP, JK underscore miss underscore JK's thing.
People,
yeah, what a specific name.
People were messaging me being like, being a little bit, calling me a bit of a sellout.
Okay, how dare they?
People were kind of mad. Ooh. I had friends being like, oh, la-di-da, she's trying to become a girl boss or something.
Yes, it's like when Zach Fox went from Booty Math to Zach Fox.
Oh my god.
He was making money, honey. Okay.
Or when Toronto comedian Jordan Brown famously lost her handle, Perry7, Platypus7.
sad.
They love that handle. But yes, leave a 5-star review. It's the best way to support the pod. Yeah. And tell your friends to listen.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. And Aiden, where can we find you?
You can find me at Aiders on Instagram and Aiden_Lockwood on Twitter. But good luck spelling that.
Good luck.
You really don't want people to spell on Twitter. I don't know why. Your Twitter's so funny.
Like, you're very much like a kind of like a witch giving a little riddle. It's like, you might find it. You might.
I'm nagging them. I'm like, if you can find it, stupid.
If you're nasty, dumb bitch.
You know what? Yeah, gatekeep only... it.
Gatekeep it.
Normalize gatekeeping your handles.
Normalize being unfindable.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I love it. I've had so much fun. Thanks so much for being here, Erica. And bye.
Bye, Minnie. It's me, Minnie Driver.
Minnie Driver came out to say bye.
Okay, so you've been listening to Abba.
And you've been listening to Ben.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.